Welcome to Managed Care Cast, a podcast from the American Journal of Managed Care. My name is Brooke McCormick, assistant editor of the American Journal of Managed Care. On this episode of Managed Care Cast, we're talking with Karen Iaposi, senior director of government products and programs at Z-Omega. We discussed the recent Medicare Part D and Medicare Advantage final rule and how it affects both enrollees and health plans. Welcome. Can you introduce yourself and tell us about the work that you do?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Karen Iaposi. I'm the Senior Director of Products and Programs at an organization called Z-Omega. I am a registered nurse by trade. I've been a registered nurse for well over 30 years, and I'm currently pursuing my DNP.
To start, could you please summarize the Medicare Advantage and Medicare Part D final rule? Overall, how does it impact these health plans?
Sure, absolutely. So let's just start out with summarizing the Medicare Advantage and Medicare Part D final rule. So the final rule aims to make sure that Medicare Advantage and Part D plans meet enrollees' needs, promote healthy competition, and strengthen protection. And one of the main changes is related to the agent and broker compensation. So the rule prevents from providing excessive compensation to agents, which can lead to anti-competitive practices, and CMS is defining compensation to a set fixed amount that the agents and the brokers can be paid. So regardless of the plan the individual enrollee is in, the rule also ensures better access to behavioral health, which we'll discuss a little bit further on, I'm sure, that providers have within the Medicare Advantage and Part D plans for enrollees. And CMS is also strengthening the enrollment for individuals duly eligible for Medicare and Medicaid, helping vulnerable populations access necessary healthcare services. Additionally, Medicare Advantage plans must offer appropriate supplemental benefits to improve enrollees' overall health and well-being. And the rule also implements changes to improve the care quality provided by healthcare plans, such as the star ratings, marketing, communication, and utilization management. And lastly, within the Part D scope, the plan has more flexibility to substitute biosimilars for reference drug products, and that's going to lead to cost savings and increased access to medication. The other piece that I just want to kind of bring up is when we talk about the overall impact into the healthcare, we know that the 2025 CMS Medicare Advantage and Part D rule is important in developing the development for the healthcare plans. And it has several significant provisions that could impact the healthcare industry. When we take a closer look at some of these changes outlined in the final rule. So again, as I referenced earlier in our discussion, agent and broker compensation, the rule addresses the issue of excessive compensation for agents and brokers who assist individuals in Medicare choices. And this can potentially steer people towards certain plans based on financial incentives instead of their healthcare needs. And to prevent this, CMS is redefining the compensation to establish a precise fixed amount that agents and brokers can be paid, regardless of which plan the individual is enrolled in. And this aims to promote fair compensation and benefits to the consumers, but overall, it could impact our plan enrollment, right? So we're thinking about how this could impact our plan enrollment as well. From the behavioral healthcare access, this rule emphasizes the importance of access to behavioral healthcare within the Medicare Advantage and Part D plans. This rule ensures that enrollees have better access to mental health and substance abuse disorders, and plans can offer different options and modes for individuals to receive such services. However, when we talk about this rule and we tag it to a health plan, we also have to recognize that there is a shortage in our behavioral health specialists. There is another component that is very heavy, and you will see the underlying theme as we begin as we continue with our conversation, and that's about health equity. CMS is prioritizing health equity by simplifying enrollment for individuals who are duly eligible for Medicare and Medicaid, and this helps ensure that our vulnerable population can access the necessary healthcare services they need And the rule also highlights increasing the percentage of dually eligible Medicare Advantage plan enrollees, allowing dually eligible enrollees to elect an integrated dual special health needs plan. Also, Medicare Advantage plans are now required to offer appropriate supplemental benefits. And this is going to wrap right into what we were talking about just a few minutes ago with health equity to enhance the overall health and well-being of our enrollees. And these are also measured in our STAR ratings and our quality measures. The rule implements changes related to STAR ratings, marketing, communication, utilization, management. And these changes aim to improve the quality of care for provided by the health plan. The last two we'll just touch on again are the flexibility for the Part D plans. We talked about the ability to substitute the biosimilars for reference drug products, and a payment increase that under the 2025 rate announcement, payments from the government to Medicare Advantage plans are expected to increase an average of 3.7%. And this amount is over $16 billion from 2024 to 2025, supporting private health plans and delivering care to the beneficiaries.
In terms of its impact on patients, how does the rules protective measures help eligible enrollees choose the best plan?
Sure. So the rules protective measures are designed to assist the eligible enrollees in selecting the most suitable plan for their need. And I think we've all been there. We've all been there trying to help a family member or someone that we know navigate what is the best plan for them. And so one of the measures in place is to establish the set of what they call guardrails that regulate the compensation that agents and brokers can receive from the plan. And this is important because it ensures that the individuals with Medicare are not steered towards a different plan. They're steered towards a plan that is suited to meet their healthcare needs and is not based on a financial interest of the agent or the broker. And also to prevent any kind of anti-competitive or anti-consumer steering incentives, CMS has set a clear fixed compensation amount for the agents and the brokers, regardless of the plan an individual enrolls in.
Diving a little deeper, how can the provisions aimed at improving health equity potentially close gaps in care?
Access to quality healthcare is a fundamental right that should be available to everyone, regardless of their social circumstances. And we cannot really address closing gaps in care without discussing access to care, which is one of the key themes that you're going to see in the proposed rule. You're not only going to see that in the Medicare Advantage proposed rule, but you're also going to see access to care in the Medicaid proposed rule. If I cannot receive the right care at the right time with the right provider, how can a plan improve gaps in care? We recognize that Medicare Advantage and Medicare Part D plans play a crucial role in providing care to underserved population, but there's still a long way to go in terms of achieving health equity because they are just a piece of that complex puzzle. That's why CMS has proposed to establish the establishment of a health equity index in the STAR rating program to incentivize contracts that improve care for population with social risk factors such as low income, dually eligible status, and disabled eligible classification. And by recognizing and rewarding plans that prioritize health equity, we can take a significant step towards ensuring that all individuals receive the highest quality care possible, regardless of their background.
Moving away from its impact on patients and focusing more on health plans, what strategies can health plans implement to better navigate and comply with these new regulations?
Yeah, there's a lot lying on health plans today, and there are some strategies that the health plans can implement to better navigate and comply with the new regulations. So we'll start with our behavioral health access, which we discussed a little bit earlier. The regulation aims to improve access to behavioral health care. So health plans really can enhance their networks by collaborating with behavioral health providers and ensuring timely access to services. In some spaces, especially in the Medicaid space, you're going to see that they're going to be measuring from access to care from the time that you've been identified needing that care to the time that you've actually received that care. And to achieve this, plans should also, you know, educate their enrollees about the availability of behavioral health benefits to promote the utilization. They must offer different modes of access to behavioral health. We cannot just lean on the calling and going into the doctor's office. We need to really think about other innovative practices and telehealth. From the supplemental benefits perspective, CMS encourages plans to offer appropriate supplemental benefits. And we've seen this before in the past, and this has been a real driver in helping with increased enrollment. But health plans really are now being stretched to explore innovative benefits, such as, you know, your transportation services, your meal delivery, your ability to connect members to what we call social determinants of health needs as well. And plans should have should access the needs to their enrollees and tailor the supplemental benefits accordingly. And what we mean by that is the benefits that I may need may be a little bit different from the benefits that someone else may need. In other words, you've really got to know the population in which you're serving, and you really need to be strategic and start to tailor those benefits to those particular populations. And when we talk about equity and coverage, health plans should review their coverage policies. This is an area that's highly audited to ensure equitable access for all enrollees. This includes considering your diverse population, addressing health disparity, and promoting health equity. And to achieve this, plans can collaborate with community-based organizations and advocacy groups to identify gaps and develop targeted solutions. And you see this now circling a lot in our vulnerable population space as well, and when it comes to addressing like social determinants of health. Streamlining those the enrollment for our dually eligible, please do not have our dually eligible folks have to be able to figure out how to manage an appeal or a grievance in two different spaces. The regulation aims to streamline enrollment for individuals eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid. It's about being integrated. Let's not make duplicative services. The health plans can simplify this by the process by coordinating with the state Medicare agencies and ensuring any seamless transitions. And plans should provide a clear information to dual eligible enrollees and assist them during enrollment. The last one that I'll touch on is the annual review of utilization management. This is a really hot topic. It somehow gets pushed a little bit to the bottom. We really need to keep this in line of sight. It is another area that health plans are being audited on. Health plans must annually review their UM or their utilization management policies for health equity considerations. So get into those policies, dig in there, and make sure that you're addressing that. Plans should assess whether these policies disproportionately impact certain populations. And again, circling back, when I said know the population in which you're serving, so check out your population and then make sure that your policies actually match the populations that you're serving. And your plans can really work with your clinicians and experts to refine utilization management criteria and ensure for fair access to services. Again, right? So you're noticing the underlying theme, equity, access to care.
Lastly, looking ahead, what areas do you think require further attention to continue improving Medicare Advantage and Medicare Part D for enrollees?
Sure. So this is another really an area where we really need to have shine the light on. And so improving the Medicare Advantage and Part D programs for enrollees in the context of social determinants of health. And I know I've peppered that in a little bit throughout our conversation today, but it's crucial in enhancing the overall health outcomes and quality of life. And again, when I address that, we're talking about health equity, we're talking about access as well within this rule. In order to achieve the goal, there are several key areas for further consideration. So first, we talked about expanding those supplemental benefits, how important it is to address social determinants of health. We know that Medicare Advantage plans are already made strides in this area, but they really need to stretch a little bit further, such as financial assistance. We're also seeing some of these plans address housing deposits, deposits for housing, a little bit more strengthening around the housing support, putting a different lens on their transportation services and even their meal delivery. They also need to continue to expand these benefits to help address specific needs and improve enrollees' well-being. Secondly, access to behavioral health, again, circling back on there, is really essential for addressing the mental health and the substance abuse disorders that we have currently plaguing our, the United States today. So we need to focus on improving access to behavioral health services within the Medicare Advantage plans, and that can lead to a positive impact in the enrollees' overall health outcomes. And what we're seeing is some really innovative projects coming around, not only the substance abuse, but how we enroll members into those types of programs, keep them engaged, and understand the impact that this can have on their overall well-being. Third, when we talk about equitable coverage for all enrollees, it's regardless of whether what their socioeconomic background looks like, it's critical. And the MA plan should actively work to reduce disparities in access to care, especially related to social determinants of health. And this includes addressing racial and ethnic disparities, income-related barriers, geographic variations in healthcare access. And so when we talk about that, we really need to look about what are the members that you serve, what services do they have around them? Are they able to get the bus for transportation to get to the doctor's office, or do you have to get an Uber because it takes them 1 hour to get to where they need to be? Again, it's about innovation and stretching. And fourth, when we talk about collaborating with the community-based organizations, this is going to be key. And this is hitting many states and it's hitting many health plans and government agencies to help connect our Medicare Advantage beneficiaries to resources that address social determinants of health. The programs can provide supporting housing stability, food security, transportation, and other essential needs. We're also seeing in the Medicare Advantage space, because there's social isolation, we are seeing that plans are starting to really become innovative and starting to connect with entities to help decrease social isolation, knowing the positive impact it has on their members. They're also strengthening partnerships with such organizations that can lead to better outcomes for their enrollees. And lastly, it's important to establish those guardrails for agent compensation to prevent any anti-competitive steering by agents and brokers, right? It's about, again, what we've been talking about, fair and equitable care. If there wasn't the money on the table, what would be the best plan for me as the member? So, to kind of wrap this all up, it's really a holistic approach that combines expanded benefits, improved access to behavioral health, equity in the coverage, the community partnership, effective agent compensation guidelines, and really making sure that we're looking at our individuals with the social determinants of health lens as well. And I'm just going to note that you're going to start to see an overlap between the Medicare Advantage part, Medicare Advantage rule, and the Medicaid proposed rule when it comes to our access to care, when it comes to health equity, when it comes to measuring, providing measures for our particular members and looking at the quality of data and understanding that our health plans are part of the puzzle. They are not the whole puzzle, and they really need to start connecting with those partners that they have within their community.
To learn more about health equity issues, visit ajmc.com or see the show notes. To get in touch with us, you can email info@ajmc.com or follow us on X @ajmc_journal. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and rate us.